Nobody storms out of a broker-dealer over one bad meeting. The way it actually happens is slower. The work stays fine, the clients stay happy, the income stays steady, and somewhere in the middle of all that fine, a flat, stuck feeling moves in and won't leave. Today I'm giving you four questions that turn that feeling into something you can actually examine, each with a small exercise you can run this week without telling a soul. Quick note before we get into it, Advisor Growth Lab is not a broker dealer and everything here is for educational purposes only. It's not individualized legal, tax, or investment advice. Every advisor's situation is different, so treat this as a map, not a set of directions. This one's for the advisor who's been asking, should I leave my broker dealer in the car on the drive home and nowhere else? By the end, you'll have the four tests: control, economics, identity, and fear versus fit. And fair warning up front, I am not going to tell you to leave. The tests tell you where you stand. The deciding stays yours. First, some context, because the wondering itself can feel disloyal, and it shouldn't. Fidelity's advisor movement study found that more than half of advisors, 56%, had considered switching firms within a five-year window, and roughly one in four actually moved. Diamond Consultants' annual transition report counted more than 11,000 experienced advisors changing firms in 2025, up about 16% from the year before. Wondering puts you in the majority of your profession. What costs you is leaving it unexamined. You tell yourself it's a phase, the phase keeps not ending, and the fog of not knowing drains more energy than staying or leaving ever would. So, the first test, control. How much of how you serve clients is actually your call? Count the decisions that are genuinely yours, the technology you use, the way you communicate, the products you can discuss, the marketing you're allowed to run. Some structure is normal at any firm, and compliance oversight exists for good reasons. The signal worth watching is direction. If more of your day is shaped by someone else's rules each year, and the approval queue for ordinary client work keeps getting longer, that trajectory matters more than any single restriction. The exercise: write down three things you wish you could do for clients, but can't. If the list comes easily, you've learned something. If you struggle to fill it, you've learned something too, and it points the other way. Second test, economics. Could you explain your own payout if I asked? The grid, the haircuts, the platform, and administrative fees that come out before the number lands in your account. Most advisors can't, and that's no knock on you. These structures are layered and conditional by design. But you can't weigh a move against numbers you've never traced. So pull your statements and trace 1 month of revenue from the client all the way to your pocket. Where does each dollar go, and what do you get for it? You're not judging the number yet, and you're not comparing it to a recruiter's pitch. Plenty of advisors run this exercise and conclude the value they receive is worth the share they give up. Others find fees they can't name serving purposes they can't identify. Either finding is progress. The economics test has a second half, and it's the side with the sharper edge, what leaving would cost. At larger firms, a meaningful slice of compensation is deferred. Awards that vest over years, kept by staying, and typically forfeited by resigning early. And if you took a recruiting package when you joined, it was likely structured as a forgivable loan, forgiven piece by piece as long as you remain, with the unforgiven balance generally coming due if you walk. These are not small numbers. FINRA itself has described recruitment incentives running as much as 2 to 3 times the prior year's commissions and fees, and its guidance walks through an illustrative 9-year note. The assignment here is narrow. Find your unvested balance in your note schedule and write the two numbers down. That's the price tag on the door. Know it cold before you form an opinion about the door. Third test, identity. Whose business is this really? When a client thinks of their advisor, do they picture you or the logo on the statement? There's no wrong answer. Some advisors are genuinely happy inside a bigger brand, and the brand does real work for them, credibility with prospects, institutional depth behind the relationship. But if you've been building for 15 years and would walk away owning very little of what you built, that's worth feeling, honestly. As an employee advisor, you generally can't sell the book on your way out because on paper it belongs to the firm. This is the test that tends to ache the most late at night. So give it an unhurried answer. Go through your top relationships one by one and ask the plain version of the question. Who did this client hire, me or the firm? Fourth test, and the one that decides whether you ever run the first three, honestly. Fear versus fit. Both produce the same behavior, staying, for very different reasons. Fit sounds like specifics. I like my platform, my clients are served well, the economics work for the life I want. Fear is louder and vaguer, and it dresses up as practicality. The timing's wrong, the market's shaky, the paperwork would be a nightmare. Better to revisit next year. Next year it says the same thing. So notice which voice talks you out of looking. A voice that argues with specifics might be fit. A voice that argues with weather is probably fear. And the classic objections, will my clients follow me? Can I handle compliance on my own? Each contains a real question that deserves a researched answer, not a reflexive one. Advisors who end up regretting a move usually skipped exactly that step. They let frustration decide, chose a model that didn't match the business they wanted to run, and met the fit problem after the boxes were unpacked. Regret argues for running the test carefully, not for never looking. Notice what none of the four tests asked you to do. Talk to a recruiter, update a resume, touch the mechanics at all, the broker protocol, your employment agreement, what you may take and say on the way out. All of that matters, one step later. And reading that paperwork is a job for a securities attorney who handles advisor transitions. Most advisors don't have one on call, and that's the point. If the tests point somewhere, get that person in your corner before you act, not after. This week is only about knowing your own situation. Because when advisors finally sit with these four questions, what usually shows up is relief, not from the answer, from finally asking. Some run the tests and discover they're more content than they thought, and that's a genuinely good outcome. This is not a funnel with a resignation letter at the bottom. Others see the discomfort has been pointing at something real all along. Either way, you set down the not knowing, and most advisors find the not knowing was the heaviest part. You're not deciding today whether to move. You're deciding whether you understand your own situation well enough to choose on purpose instead of by default. Drifting is a decision too, just one you never actually made. If you want a structured way to run this on your own situation, we built a short assessment that walks through exactly these questions and shows you where you stand. Six questions, free, on our website at advisorgrowthlab.com. Nobody calls you afterward, it's just clarity. Answer the four questions before anyone answers them for you. Clear eyes first, the move second. I'll see you tomorrow.